Serve a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, let's just lift our hands this morning. I'd like to pray. This is just a beautiful time of worship this morning. Father God, we just thank you for this church, Father God, for the joy of being here, Lord. And Lord, you said that you had living stones that are your spiritual house. Father, I thank you each and every person in this church, Lord, is a living stone being built into a spiritual house. You said a dwelling place of you in the Spirit. I thank you your Spirit's here, Father, bringing refreshing, bringing life, bringing strength. Father, I just thank you, God, today remove discouragement, distractions, Father, and breathe life and purpose and identity into your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That man blessed my socks off this morning. You know, come on. Sophie ministering under the word of God, sharing a testimony. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. If you have your Bibles, let's go over to Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My name is Chesley Sharp. I got saved as a little kid. Called to preach the gospel. And God called me into it. Blessed to be here and in this church. When God called me to preach as a little guy, I wanted to preach so bad I would preach to my sister's Barbie dolls. So every Saturday, Ken and Barbie would get saved, you know, but my sister ended my ministry when I water baptized Ken and Barbie. She didn't like that. So, you know, you get Barbie wet, you might not get to preach to her again. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made the foolishness the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom chose not to know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. But those of us who are called, both Greeks and Jews, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, brethren, in our calling, there are not many wise people according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble or rich are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the things that think they are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things that think they're mighty. And the base things, the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that think they are." Good news. Look at your neighbor and say, "You are a good-looking fool." No, I don't want to say that. Come on. You know, when I was growing up in school, people would try to be gangsters. So they'd be, "What's up, fool?" And I don't say that to the wrong person. "But of him who you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that is written, let he who glories, glory in the Lord." Now, this morning, I just want to preach to you about the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want to preach to you about the power of the gospel. And Paul was writing to the church in Corinth here. And they were very church with a lot of zeal, but a lot of stupid. You know, they would get together to prophesy, and you would have people competing for who was going to get to prophesy. And somebody else would say, "I'm going to pray in tongues and interpret at the same time." If you have four people trying to do something at the same time, it's not for the right motive. And so they got so full of pride at Corinth, they would say, "Hey, listen, I follow Apollos. I don't follow Paul. Well, I follow Peter, and Peter was the closest to Jesus." And, you know, we can kind of get that way ourselves. Well, I listen to Joel Osteen, or I listen to John Hagee, or, you know, I got Spirit-filled back in 1972, praise God. And you can begin to get a pride thing. And Paul said, this is what I love about Paul. He just cuts to the chase. He said, "I thank God I didn't baptize any of you people." He said, "I thank God I did not baptize you. God did not call me to baptize. He called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And he said, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who reject it. But for those of us who have said yes, it's the power of God." You know, the world, when Jesus came, people got so excited about his miracles and his ministry. At one point, they tried to take Jesus by force and make him a king. But he didn't come to be a king. Jesus did not come just to be a good teacher. When the Pharisees saw him, they said, "Well, maybe he's a good rabbi. Other people have said, well, maybe he's a person who's just going to heal the sick, or he's a good prophet. Jesus, at one point in the scriptures, he said, my soul's very troubled, but what shall I say? Father, spare me from this hour. No, for this cause I've come to the earth. What was that cause? To be lifted up on that cross, and if he was lifted up on that cross, he would draw all men to the Father. He came to die. He came to carry a cross. He came to bring salvation and redemption to mankind. He came to make dead people alive. So he came for that purpose. And what I love about the cross, what I love about Jesus, is it says the mighty people, the people who think they're something, the people who think they're strong, they're wealthy, God hasn't called a lot of those people. But if you're a person who is a despised thing, a weak thing, a poor thing, a broken thing, a rejected thing, an orphan thing, I called you. I called you so I could show off my goodness in your life. You know why you went through all that bad stuff you went through? So God can give himself a great testimony in your life. He didn't let you go through those things just so you can experience brokenness. You went through brokenness so you can experience healing, so you can experience life, so you could be a living epistle read and known by all men. You went through all those things so God could glorify himself in your life. He chose the least likely to succeed to be the most successful because he loves you. Not many wise are called, not many noble, but God's chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. The things that think they're mighty, he didn't call them. To shame those who think they are mighty. That God chose the weak things. You know, the Jews seek after a sign, the Greeks look after wisdom, but we preach the cross of Jesus Christ, which is foolishness to the world. We live in a day and age where people are looking for purpose, they're looking for identity, they're looking for things. The answer to everything they're looking for is in the cross of Jesus Christ. The healing that's available can only be found in Jesus Christ. And the reason God chose to rescue you and heal you and deliver you is so you could become a rescuer and bring that message to other people. Jesus is your sanctification, your wisdom, your redemption. What does that mean? Jesus is your holiness. He's your righteousness. He sets you apart. He's your sanctification, and he's your wisdom. He's everything that you need so you can bring him to people who have never experienced him. You were chosen because you had flaws and weaknesses. I was a kid. I experienced salvation at 5 years old. Fell in love with Jesus. And I knew from that moment in Sunday school I wanted to preach the gospel. That was the one thing I wanted to do. In school, when I went to public school, my first day of school, they said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a preacher. You know, all the little kids. You had astronaut, you had fireman, you had to make these little costumes. They didn't have a costume for a preacher, so my teacher got a business suit and a book, and she wrote Bible on it. So I got to have the little deal. Well, in school, later found out that I had dyslexia, actually very severe dyslexia, and was put into a program called special education and was with a bunch of kids. And the teachers would look at us kids and say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with y'all. Y'all are just stupid. You're just lazy. You're never going to be anything. And I was 6 years old when that was told to me, probably 6 months into school. And you begin to hear that 3 or 4 times a week every day as a kid, and a grown-up's telling you to, you believe it. And I begin to think God was not a nice guy. Why would he call me to preach and make me want to preach if I couldn't even read in front of people? So maybe I just made that up in my own head. Maybe I just wanted to do that and can't do that. And I began to give up on ever doing that, preaching the gospel. As a little kid, my mom had a friend. They took me out of school. Her friend had said, hey, use this program to teach Chesley to read. If he uses it, he'll be able to read. If you don't use this program with him, his self-esteem will never recover. So she would try to teach me. I would just put my head on the desk and cry and say, I'm too stupid. I can't do anything. And she said, who told you that? You know what God says? God says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. God says you have the mind of Christ. And I thought she was the meanest mom in the world. But as I began to believe the word of God, I began to practice reading. God then began to restore the desire in my heart to preach the gospel to people. Because after experiencing abuse, I decided, well, maybe I don't like people. People are not so nice. You know, I'll just avoid people and avoid situations where I'd ever have to read in front of people. That is not a nice thing. And God's love began to cast out that fear. God's love cast out the fear of man and the fear of inadequacy. And I thank God that he chose me as a foolish, weak thing, a thing that could do nothing in and of myself, and gave me an anointing to preach the gospel to the poor, and he's given that to you and I. I want to ask you, what area in your life do you feel like you're a weak thing? The word they use in Corinthians, a despised thing, a shameful thing. I want you to take that weakness and take that shame and realize Jesus took it to the cross. Jesus took your past and he nailed it to the cross. He wiped it out with his own blood. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the costly, precious blood of Jesus. So when you stand before God, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are complete in him who called you, not a weak thing, not a broken thing anymore. You're a son and daughter of God. He chose you because you were inadequate. So you can never get the big head and say, because I'm so good looking. You know, if I just had hair like Sabata, man, I could preach the gospel. You know, I think Sabata has great hair. I just had to say that. You know, he didn't choose you because you were so humorous. He didn't choose you because you were the most intelligent. He chose you because he knew your heart would say, Father, I need you. One of my favorite quotes that I heard a preacher say many years ago at Bible school, the only difference between a sinner and a saint is the saint says, Jesus, I need you. That when before you were ever created, the Father knew you would say yes to the foolishness of the cross, the foolishness of this message preached. Because sometimes when we look at the needs of the world that we live in, those needs are so overwhelming. And you say, what can we do? Bring people to the cross. The cross still works. The gospel still works. The message of Jesus still reaches hearts. You know, a lot of times we talk about contending for revival, and revival can be miracles, and revival can be prophecy and manifestations of the presence of God, and all that stuff's great, right? But you don't really have to contend for revival. You know what you do? You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to confirm the word with signs, miracles, and wonders. When you preach the gospel, the sick will get healed. When you preach the gospel, demons will flee. When you preach the gospel, marriages are restored. When you preach the gospel, homeless people become businessmen and women. Preach the gospel, and the presence of Jesus will manifest. And anything that takes you away from preaching the gospel and from loving people, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Listen, there are a lot of causes in the earth, and I think we as the church, we should support causes. But anytime we put a cause at the same level of Jesus, you get into error. If you look at churches historically that have lost their power, there was a church that decided we're going to reach the world by giving to the poor, which is not a bad thing. But that became such a focal point of their mission that they became the Salvation Army. And now in many Salvation Army churches, you can't preach the gospel. If we're not careful, historically, it was a church when it started. Now we think of it as a nonprofit. If we let anything become equal to Jesus and the cross, we get off of our mission. But when we keep the cross as the focal point of our church, God forbid that I should glory except in what? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will come with signs, miracles, and wonders to confirm the word. So I want to encourage you, when you look at your life and where you're at right now, God has a vested interest in fulfilling his promises in your life. Because it's going to bring Jesus glory. If you have your Bibles, let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm not going to preach real long today because I don't want y'all to get dreams and visions in church. Cheeseburgers and tortillas. Good stuff. Ephesians chapter 3. Blessed are the short-winded, they get invited back. You know. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me, that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which was the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. That now the intent of the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, access with confidence through faith in him. You have boldness, you have access with confidence through faith in him. You know, there's some people who I would love to meet one day. You know, I'm just saying, I would love to meet the governor of Texas. That would be cool. I could show up in Austin. I could show up early. I could call them weeks in advance and send them letters. But there's a good chance I might not meet them. In fact, if I send too many letters and show up, I might meet the guys in the coats who walk around with those men. But what I love about our God, he said, because of Jesus Christ, with boldness and access and confidence through faith in him, you can come meet him. You can come know him. He said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you'd open the door, I'd come in and be with you and you with me. So one, you don't have to beg to come into the presence of God. You have access through Jesus Christ. Two, we begin to look at this. Paul said, I'm the least of all the saints. You know, he was the least of all the saints, but he did the most. So like I said, you're in good company. If you were a foolish thing, you are in good company. God could do some great things in your life because he knows you're humble enough to give him glory and credit, and you won't look down on other people. Because you know the same God who rescued you wants to rescue others with your life. To make all see what is the mystery of this fellowship, that the church would make known the purpose of God in the earth. There's some beautiful, glorious things that God is going to do for our church, whether it's the healing of the sick, whether it's financial miracles, whether it's confirming the word, prophecy. You know why he's going to do it? For the glory of Jesus in the church. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. So he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. For what? The glory of Jesus in the church. So I want to encourage you, when you come to see the church in the world today, there's a lot of stuff going on, but I want to encourage you, God has promises for the church. His promises, he said, the works that you do, I do, you'll do also in greater works than these. He said and prayed to the Father in John 17, Father, let them be one that the world would know that you sent me. So before Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a beautiful church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, any such thing. He's coming back for that church, right? Well, it's the church universal, it's the church local, and then it's you. So yes, he's going to do a lot of things for the church universal, but that doesn't exclude the epicenter. He's going to do a lot of wonderful things for the epicenter, but that doesn't exclude you. You are in that. And that your life, the principalities and powers, the demons, that said if they had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. All of a sudden, they look at you and go, oh, no, that's the reason he came. Because at first, he was Emmanuel, God tabernacled among us, but now they're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what are we going to do? We have to tell these people they're not that good. They're not that strong. Maybe they won't make it. If you go back to Genesis, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. They were beautiful. They were clothed in God's glory. The serpent came to them and said, hey, you know, if you eat this fruit, you can be like God. Well, if Alan gets married and has kids, and he will one day, looking forward to that day, we won't have to wonder if those are Alan's kids because they look like Alan. I'll say, well, if you eat this baby food, you can really look like Alan. They don't need any other baby food. They got Alan's DNA. Satan came to Adam and Eve, who were created in the beautiful image of God, and said, you know what? You're not really like God. And if you ate this food, you can be like God. Satan comes to Jesus, who is the Son of God, who God just came down from heaven and told everybody, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off from the top of the temple, and the angels will catch you. If you're the Son of God, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the nations in the world. And Jesus already knew who he was. So don't think that the enemy, who is a liar, who is the accuser of the brethren, would not come to you and say, well, you know what? You're just weak. You're just rejected. You're just broken. You're just, hey, God can't use somebody like from your side of the tracks. He can't use somebody from your family. You come from a family of alcoholics. If the people in the church knew who you were, they might run the other way. Satan comes and he tells people like that all the time. You know what you need to tell yourself? That you are accepted in the beloved, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God is all the while working you both to will and do his good pleasure, and God's going to be glorified in your life. You see, when you were lost, you had no shame in sin. You didn't care about sin when you were lost. You had fun. Fun that leads to death, but fun. You know, but now that you're a believer, now that you're a saint, now that you're sanctified, Satan says, oh, do you remember what you did? You know why Satan has to do that? If Satan has to remind you of your past, maybe it's because you haven't given him any new material to work with. In fact, the blood of Jesus is so powerful, it says it cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve God. Dead works is I'm trying to do something to earn God's forgiveness. You can't do it. The blood of Jesus did it all for you. So now you, as a child of God, you are called to bring God's glory in your life. So I want to encourage you. You know why God's going to heal your body? To bring his Son glory. You know why God's going to save your whole household? to bring his son glory. You know why God's going to bless the work of your hands and bless your tithes and offerings? To give his son glory. You know why God is going to give you peace in your spirit? Because the Prince of Peace wants to get glory in your life. You know why God is going to use you to preach the gospel to the poor and to bring about salvation in this Harris County and Fort Bend County area? To glorify Jesus. All the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. All those things will happen because of that. So the cross came and rescued us. God chose you because you were foolish things. If you're taking notes, this is me rapid fire with four espressos. And that because of that, he's going to be glorified in the church, and you are the church. If you have your Bibles, we'll go to one last scripture, then we're going to get out of here. It's going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Because of the cross, you and I have been rescued. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 17 says, if anyone's in Christ, they're new creation. But Paul begins to tell the believers, now that you're in Christ, you're ambassadors for Christ. You have this ministry of reconciliation. You know, my passion as a person who follows Jesus is evangelism. And in evangelism, God wants to work with you and for you to reach people. You know, it's not you going out there by yourself to reach people. It's not you having to do things on your own strength. He wants to reach people. If we're not careful in church today, without being critical of church, I love the church. But if we're not careful, we could become holy huddles. You know, we could become Acts, us four, no more Acts 2:4. I call it sometimes the last of the Mohican Christians. You know, we're like, take my life, Lord. This is what one of the prophets said in the Old Testament. I'm the only one left. And God had to say, you know what, prophet, quit crying. I got 5,000 people who haven't bowed down to Baal yet. You know, in this world today, there are 2 billion people who've never heard the name of Jesus. In India alone, there's 500,000 villages that have never heard the gospel or the name of Jesus. There's 2 billion people on this planet. And you know what? God wants to work with you and through you to bring those people to him. It says, as though God's spirit was pleading through us, we implore people on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you want to hear the voice of God and you've not heard the voice of God in a long time, begin to pray about God. God, who can I reach for your kingdom? Who can I share Jesus with? Lord, if you give me a prompting or an opportunity, I will say yes and be obedient. And I just want to share 2 testimonies with you about being led by the Spirit so you can minister salvation to people. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years old and was excited about Jesus and reading my Bible. I'm beginning to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. How do I know the difference between you, me, and the devil? That's what I'd ask the Lord, because I don't want to do what the devil wants. I don't want to do what my flesh wants, which is usually ice cream. And I don't want to, but I do want to do what you want. And he said, well, son, ask me to show you somebody you can help me reach. I was like, okay. So I would just pray. Lord, if there's anybody you want me to share Jesus with, I will. That was my simple prayer. And I was at a Boys and Girls Club and doing a karate tournament and had just beat somebody up and was waiting to go beat somebody else up. And there was a girl in the hallway, and God said, go share Jesus with this girl. I was like, well, Lord, wait a minute. Is this really you? I said, because first of all, in children's church where I grew up and in youth group, they say only guys pray for guys and girls pray for girls, you know. And maybe I'll just mess this up, you know, Lord, you know, I'm just saying it's, I'm not. And he said, well, son, would the devil want you to share Jesus with somebody? I was like, well, no. He said, would you want to do that on your own? I said, well, no, Lord, I wouldn't want to do that on my own. That's kind of scary. I said, it's probably me talking to you. Go talk to this girl about Jesus. He was so gentle with me. That's literally how he talked to me. So I come up to this girl and said, you seem nervous. She's like, well, I am, you know, I'm have to move away, and I'm in love with your best friend, and I've never told your best friend I've been in love with him since the 3rd grade, and I said, well, that's not real. That's what I told her. You're just having emotions because you're moving away. I said, You know, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I mean, I just talked to her just like that. I was not articulate at all. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you know if you'd die, if you'd go to heaven? She said, well, no. In fact, she said, how can I be saved? You know, I began to talk to her about the cross. She said, can I still be saved if both my parents hate God? She said, my parents hate God. My mom grew up in a home with an abusive dad who was a preacher. She hates God. She hates church. I said, well, God will save you in spite of wherever you're at, with whoever you're at. And I said, don't be angry or rebellious toward your parents. Just pray for your parents. I said, but let's talk about you. Are you going to be saved today? And she said, yes. And we began to pray the prayer of salvation. And I said, okay, well, where are you moving to? I figure Dallas, Austin. She said, well, in 2 weeks, my family's moving to South Africa because my dad works for an oil company. We'll be there for 10 years. You know, I could have said, no, Lord, this is not you. I'm scared. I'm intimidated. I'm not going to talk to this person. But this girl got to hear the gospel and accept Jesus because I was willing just to say yes to the possibility or the foolishness. It could be God talking to me. And God didn't take a very articulate person. He took a person who was homeschooled, dyslexic, and uncool, you know, stuttering over my words to talk to this young lady. There was that young lady. There was another time in my life where I was working at a church a lot. I worked at a ministry for 9.5 years and was doing martial arts back then. And after closing down the church and cleaning the building, I would go back to El Campo, get my groceries, and go home. Because my favorite time to shop, because nobody was in the store, there were no lines. I didn't have to pray for anybody in the lines. I could just go get my stuff or answer theology questions or stuff that people, they know you're a pastor, they try to get you to do. And I noticed there was a young man, a cashier, who just seemed really down. Every time I would talk to the kid, I was like, hey, you know, how are you? And he's like, just making it, barely making it. It's like, barely making it? Kid, you're like 20. What's your problem? And I was like, hey, how are you doing? Oh, it's terrible. Anytime I saw him, he was like Eeyore. You know, poor kid, and I was like Tigger, you know. And so, you're being real spiritual today. What did Chesley talk about? He talked about Eeyore and Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. And so I said, you know what, Lord? I don't know what this kid's problem is. I saw one time he got really mad and ran out of the store when I was at another aisle getting groceries. I said, so I'm just going to pray for this kid to get saved. This kid needs you, Jesus. I don't know why I'm just burdened for this kid. So if I would be driving in my car and that kid's face would come in front of me, I'd say, Lord, save that kid with the glasses and the blonde hair. And I'd be at my desk filing papers for the church, and I would just think of that kid. I was like, Lord, save that kid at Walmart who's just always down. Well, then one day I saw his name badge, which was good. And I've shared this testimony many times. He doesn't mind me sharing this. He's a minister now. And so I'll share his name. I saw his name tag, and I said, God, save that kid, Dustin. Lord, just help Dustin. Save him. Let him come to Jesus. Let him know you as Savior, Father God. Lord, just bring this young man into your kingdom. I don't know how you're going to save him, but just save him, Father. If there's an opportunity for me to share Jesus with him, I'll do it, but just save him. Well, I was at my church on a Sunday morning. Somebody else had ministered, but they asked me to come do the altar call to close out the service. And I was doing the altar call, preaching the gospel in 5 minutes, and I said, whoever wants to receive Jesus, you can come down here and receive Jesus. And the kid who I've been praying for over 14 months, the kid Dustin with a name badge, came down to get saved, came down to get delivered. So I want to encourage you with your life. God might give you a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit, say this is what the person's problem is, and you can minister salvation to them. Or God might just show you somebody. And one plants and one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. And you just be faithful to pray for people. You know, we want to see the gospel preached in this church, and when we do, God will show up to confirm his word. When we begin to pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit can't wait to do it. You see, I love coffee. If you say, you come to my little apartment and say, Chesley, make me coffee, I get excited. I can't wait to make it for you. When we begin to say, Father God, glorify Jesus. Father God, glorify your son. Father God, let the gospel become beautiful in Fort Bend County. All of a sudden, God says, I can't wait to show up and do what you've asked me to do because it's what I love to do. You know, and it's with every promise in your life. Because of the cross, all the promises of God are yes and amen. It's that way. Healing for your body, blessing in your finances, peace in your soul, salvation for your family, all that brings God's glory. Nothing disqualifies you from that. So this morning, I just want to pray over you. Let's just lift up our hands. Father, I just thank you for this church, Father God. Lord, it's our heart's desire to be ministers of reconciliation, to share Jesus with people. Lord, we thank you because you've loved us, you washed us in your blood, you've made us kings and priests, Father God, kings to carry out your mandates and priests to intercede for others. So Lord, we will carry out your mandates, and Lord, we will intercede for other people. We will tell them of your goodness. Father, as you give us opportunities, Lord, we thank you that you don't send us alone, but you go with us to confirm your word, Father God. Father, I thank you, you haven't even given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I thank you we're bold, Father, that we have a boldness to share Christ with others, God, and that even if by nature we're shy, you give us courage, Father God, to reach out in faith. I thank you for your church, Father God. The Epicenter is blessed, Father God. Father, I pray this morning, glorify Jesus. Heal sick bodies, Father God, because you're good. Begin to restore people's souls this morning because you're good, Father God. I thank you the Epicenter is paid for because you're good, Father God. Our building is paid for. And Lord, I call blessings into your people's lives. Pay raises, promotions, increase, Father God, in Jesus' name, to further the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, for every voice of discouragement that came and said somebody's a foolish thing, I thank you, Lord, that your voice of affirmation says, yes, you might have been a foolish thing, but I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, and your fruit would remain. So, Father, I thank you for remaining fruit in people's lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.